Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Hunting the Prey. It's been a long time. It's been a long time since I've talked to you guys. Last time I recorded a pod was after game four of the Western Conference Finals, I think. Obviously ended up losing game five. I think my last episode was called, like, We Can Do This. And then we went on to lose. So, great. Amazing. But we're back. Haven't really gotten the time to do this during the offseason. So, obviously a lot to talk about. I'm not going to talk about the draft or the summer league or stuff like that. That's just far away. But we're going to talk a little bit about the preseason, a little bit about season predictions, and then we're going to go ahead and talk about the pod moving forward. So a little bit of a refresh. I'm hoping to make it a little bit more interesting, just not talk. Maybe we're going to get some guests on this season as well. We'll see. There's a couple of guys that I want to get on the pod, but we'll see. Let's just go straight ahead, you know. It's a lot to talk about. Obviously, just before the preseason, there was the huge trade. Karl Anthony Towns going to New York. Randall and Dante DiVincenzo, they make their way over to Minnesota. If I made this pod during the trade, I think my opinion would be pretty biased. I wouldn't say that. I would say more like I would be just desperately mad. Kat is the reason why I became a Minnesota Timberwolves fan. He's my favorite player. I've got this Jaden McDaniels kind of tag on me now, but Kat was kind of the guy who got me into basketball. I never let go of Kat, to be honest. It's just been tough to see him go. Obviously, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him to go to a team where he can compete. He can hopefully challenge for the title this year with Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby. That team is stacked as well. I really hope that they do some huge things this year. But let's talk about the Wolves side of it. Because you're losing Kat, you're losing a lot of shooting. You're getting Randall. And, you know, I've heard a lot of pods this past couple of weeks. Just talking about Randall. He can't shoot. He can't really defend as well. He's probably around the same defender in Kat in my eyes, the same level. Dante, on the other hand, I'm really excited about. I think this is a player that the Wolves have really looked for. Not really Dante in particular. I know they tried to get him last season as well. But right now, I think they were looking for that kind of Malik Beasley type, you know? A guy that could come out, shoot just ridiculous shots and make him as well. Malik Beasley, he took some incredibly stupid shots. And sometimes he made him, sometimes he didn't. I think Dante is a better version of that. He's just a guy that can hit a lot more of those difficult shots as well as defend on the other side. So I think Dante is a really huge pickup. I've seen and talked to people who think they look at Dante DiVincenzo as an all-star candidate this year. I'm not going to go that far. I don't really think he has the potential to be an all-star yet. I'm not going to talk, like, it would be very, very, very ironic if he goes out and becomes an all-star now, but I don't really see it on this team. If he played, like, on the Pistons, maybe, but he plays on a team with Kat. No, Kat's not here anymore. That was wrong. Ant. He plays on a team with Ant. Randall's there. Jaden is there. That's kind of the next thing. Jaden and a lot of other players on the team. Hopefully Nikhil. We're going to talk a little bit about him as well. But hopefully Nikhil. You have a guy like Nas. These guys are going to step up. You know, they're going to take a huge role on this team now. And you're going to want them. You're going to want them to become better. You're going to want them to be maybe all-star caliber. Not, of course. Nikhil, he can stay out of that all-star conversation, but Jaden and Nas, definitely all-star potential there. And you're really looking for them to improve, make them become better versions of themselves. So hopefully that cat trade kind of frees up a role for them. But looking at Randall and Dante, they kind of fill up Cat's production and his usage. So I don't know if I see a huge chance for other people. But again, we'll see. I think Jaden is the kind of guy that should probably stay at like 13, 14 points this season. He's not going to take a huge step, in my opinion. And Nas, on the other hand, I could see him jump up to like 18 maybe, which would be crazy if he did. It would be sick off the bench, but you never know. You never know. But yeah, you've heard a lot about that Randall and Dante and Cat trade, so I'm not going to really like fill your ears about it. I just needed to get kind of my thoughts out there. There's a limit to how much you can write on Twitter, so I'm going to take my chances here. Next thing, the huge guy, the huge surprise this preseason, a guy that I've had almost given up on after Summer League, Josh Minot. Man, was he fun to watch. He just, first game, took that chance by the balls. You know, he took the basketballs and put them in the basket as well. This man, he was on fire during the whole preseason. He just looked like an NBA player. He didn't really even look like a on the fence NBA player. He looked like a NBA player. Like a guy that could actually play. And that is huge for this team. Like, if you're going to be inside the cap, you're going to need guys like this, Minot, who could hopefully develop into the future as a close to a starter, you know, caliber kind of guy. Like, I see that for him. And it's just huge that one of these young guys like TJ, Leonard Miller, Jalen Clark, Josh Minot, Wendell Moore was in that category as well before he got traded to the Pistons. These guys are stepping up. They're stepping up in a huge way. And to have a guy like Minot kind of like exceed expectations, it's fantastic. Because this season you've lost like Monte Morris, you've lost Kyle Anderson, you've lost Jordan McLaughlin. These are guys that were on the end of your rotation. These are guys that are going to play NBA minutes this year. And you're basically losing three really, really close to starter caliber players. Not really Jordan McLaughlin, but the two other guys. Starter capability on those two. And then you kind of look at 10th and 11th man before the preseason, and you're like, Minot, Terrence Chan Jr., Leonard Miller. It's just like, it's not really great. And then you look at Minot. It's fantastic. It's huge for the Wolves. They got to get him on a contract extension ASAP. Just, I know it's too late now. Rookie extension deadline was yesterday, but man, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. And I'm hoping for him to get some minutes. Hopefully tonight against the Lakers. I'm hoping to get this episode out as soon as possible so that you can listen to it on your way to work, on your way to whatever it is. I don't really know what you're doing down in Minnesota right now. But I know what Dillingham is doing. He's getting buckets. Let's talk about this guy. Robert Dillingham, 8th pick of the NBA draft, traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves from the San Antonio Spurs. I was shocked. Summer League didn't really impress me. I mean, he looked fine. He looked like a rookie. Rookie guards don't really impress in their first season or even close to it. But he's from Kentucky. Kentucky guards are so good. So I kind of had an expectation of him to come out in this preseason and look great. And he kind of did. I don't really see the hate for Dillingham. We can talk a lot about his defensive or his lack of defense, to be honest. He has some defensive problems, mainly due to him being just small. There's rumors going around that he's below 6 feet. I don't think he is. I think he's like 6 feet on a dot. But his size is just so small. Like, he's really, really small. And I mean, we'll see what kind of time he gets, but Josh Minot, he put it perfectly when he said, like, you're not going to play for the Minnesota Timberwolves if you don't play defense. And Dillingham, he does not play defense. So even though he's an above-average playmaker, way above-average playmaker, I mean, he looked really good. Even though he is extremely good at scoring the basketball, I don't see a way for him to get huge minutes this year. That's kind of a bummer. Because going into this season, you were kind of looking at Dillingham and you were like, okay, that's our backup point guard. He's going to be our like ninth, maybe eighth man this season, hopefully starting a few games when Mike is out. And that was some huge expectations to put on a 19-year-old. But that was kind of what you were hoping on with Dillingham. And now that's kind of out the window. So I'm not going to go like hyper negative on Dillingham. I mean, he's a rookie. He's going to get minutes this year. It's not that. He's like way better than Leonard Miller and Jalen Clark. So, but maybe Minot takes a step above him. Ingles didn't really look great either in preseason. So maybe Ingles plays more than him. Maybe Dillingham plays more. I don't know. We're going to have to see. Like, that 10th, 9th man is really on the fence, I think, because you've obviously got Nikhil, Nas, and Dante off the bench, and then probably Dante as your backup point. And then you're looking at that, like, 9th, 10th man. Chris Finch really plays with 9 men. So is that Dillingham? Is it Ingles? I don't know. Maybe it's Garza. I mean, Garza had a really, really, really good preseason. I mean, that's an NBA player for sure. But he just doesn't fit this team defensively either. So you're going to have to see. Let's talk a little bit about Nikhil Alexander-Walker. I was listening to Dane Moore's podcast yesterday, talking about his season predictions with Kyle Tighe. And Kyle mentioned Nikhil Alexander-Walker being traded midseason. And I thought to myself, that is really realistic. Because ever since really like All-Star break last year, I feel like his shot has looked horrendous. In the offseason, he really hasn't done anything about it. He came out this preseason, it's not shooting near 40% as he did a little bit over a year ago. So, I mean, knock it go, man. I don't want him to go. I think he has found a home in Minnesota. I really love Nikhil defensively. But then you're looking at that shot, and then you're looking at what else he offers offensively, and it's not really a lot. So you're gonna have to see, gonna have to watch Nikhil what he does this season. I don't really know. Yeah, that's kind of a sad way to leave preseason. Should we talk a little bit about like? Yeah, fuck it. Let's talk about Luka Garza. Luka Garza, what a fucking player. Now I'm cursing a lot. Luka Garza came out this preseason very, very close to not being really an NBA player at all this offseason. Like, he's on a minimum 2-year deal, regular season roster for the first time of his career. I mean, he was under the regular season roster as well during the playoffs, but that really didn't matter. He didn't really play. So this year, he really has a chance. And man, he looked really good. I mean, he is so slim. He's very, very good at getting inside the paint, getting points. He can shoot that 3-ball. I mean, Luka Garza, he has a lot to offer. So if you're looking at the like 9th, 10th man rotation, are you going to fit in Luka Garza? Are you going to look at that? Is Chris Finch going to look at it and say, Dillingham, Ingles. I don't really know. Luka Garza. Yeah. We're going to go for Luka Garza. I don't think so. I don't really think so, but I would love it. I would absolutely love it. Might not hopefully get some shot, gets a shot. So it's a ninth man rotation. Might not on Luka Garza. That would be funny. That would be really funny. Okay, we're getting off track now. Preseason, it was a lot of pluses, some negatives. Looking at like Dillingham, Terrence Shannon didn't really impress me. I've really lost hope on Leonard Miller. I know it's only his second season. I'm not going to overreact, but he just looks so disinterested when he's on the court, so that's not a good sign. But that really transitions us well to the season predictions, because we have a season to look forward to. It starts tonight against the LA Lakers, and they're playing in the Crypto.com Center. What a horrible name, by the way. What a horrible name. They're gonna play there against the Lakers. You're really looking forward to them winning that one. They have a full team, no injuries, which is great. And other than that, you have just 81 games the rest of the season. So a lot of basketball to look forward to. Here's the thing. We have no idea how good this team is. I mean, I didn't get any pointers. I felt in the preseason to like, okay, this team is ... No, I did not. But I'm going to go with my gut feeling here. Minnesota, 55-27, second seed. The Thunder are just way too good. Way too good. Thunder are going to, they're going to smash it. They're going to win. The West, I don't really see any other team being close unless the Thunder have like a couple of injuries, like Shea, Shet, maybe J-Dub getting injured. I don't really see anyone jumping over them. But I really expect the Wolves to challenge again for that Western top, the top four, which would be amazing, getting another home court chance here with really a lot of turnover in the team. And then you're looking at like the playoffs aspect of it. Randall, of course, you've heard a lot about that as well. Randall doesn't really perform in the playoffs. Yeah, he does perform in the playoffs with New York. Maybe that's the problem, you know. Cat didn't really perform in the playoffs before, you know, getting Ant and Mike and Non, you know, people around him. So you're looking at Julius Randle and you think maybe there's a player in there in the playoffs. I mean, he's clutch. He feels really clutch. So I don't really see a problem with Randle in offseason. I don't want to get negative there. I expect them to be championship contenders. I don't see any way that this team shouldn't be looked at as favorites to win the championship. Definitely getting back to Western Conference Finals. If they don't, like, you kind of have to be disappointed, even though they kind of cut back with the Cat trade. I expect the Western championship. No. Okay, I don't really expect them to get to the finals. I expect them to get to the Western Conference Finals. Okay, I'm gonna get it. Stop there. If they get to the Western Conference Finals, I'm happy. Just because of the turnover and Randall having to get used to Gobert, it's gonna be really weird. So, yeah, we're gonna leave it at Western Conference Finals contender. The rest of my kind of hopes for the season is a McDaniels jump. I mean, he's kind of poised for a jump, isn't he? We've talked about this for 4 years. This is his fifth year in the league. Kind of just started that extension of his, a little over $30 million. So you're looking at him and you're saying, okay, great defense. Okay, he rebounds okay, and his assist isn't great, and he only scores 12 points a game, 36% from three. What is this guy? Why are you paying this guy $30 million? And you and me as Wolves fans look at Jaden and like, okay, man, that guy deserves 30, maybe $40 million. Maybe give him the whole bag. Look at how he play in the playoffs. That is a $30 million player. Average consumer of the NBA will look at Jaden and rip their hairs out that they just didn't make the NBA and get $30 million because Jaden offensively just isn't impressive until you get to the playoffs. So I really look at Jaden and I think, what's stopping you? What's stopping you from becoming a 16, 17 points per game scorer? 38, 39% from three, 50% from the field, close to 80% from the free throw line. What's stopping him? Nothing. I don't see anything stopping him. The only thing I don't like on McDaniels is his handle. I don't really love it. But other than that, he has some moves, man. I think he's poised for the jump. I said it earlier that I don't really see a way for him to get the usage. But I mean, take a Minot, you know, just make Finch give you usage. Force him to, you know? Minot forced Chris Finch into evaluating Minot, looking at him and just questioning if he's going to be in the lineup or rotation. Jaden has to do the same thing just with the usage. The other thing is the young guys. We've talked a lot about it, really, but I wanted to give a chance to the young guys, especially Minot. Dillingham as well. I mean, they talked a lot about it. They talked a lot about it wanting to give Dillingham minutes this season. I don't really know if they do it now. That was before that Dante trade, you know? So maybe you're looking at it and you're thinking, okay, maybe not, you know? Yeah, we'll see if they play the young guys. Third thing. We're on like fourth thing now. I'm looking at Nas and Dante as sixth man of the year. Maybe. Could they win like a co-sixth man of the year? They're definitely the sixth man of the year of the Wolves. And you're looking at them and you're thinking the usage is going to be good for both. You're both going to start a few games. You're going to get all the touches on the bench. What's stopping you from becoming like a six man of the year pairing? Both of them can win. The same with Ant, MVP. I'm gonna stop myself a little bit here. He's not gonna win the MVP, but he should be in contention for it. That's kind of what I'm looking at. And then we talked a little bit about it as well, but the trade deadline, I think something's gonna happen there. Something's gotta give, you know. Nas is an unrestricted free agent. Nas is a free agent, and I don't really think they're going to trade Nas. So maybe Julius Randle has to go. I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen. So you're looking at it and you're thinking, there's a chance here for someone to get traded. I don't hope for it at all. But There's a strong possibility. Okay, so that's really just my predictions. 55-27, second seed, McDaniels jump, bet on the young guys, a championship run. I mean, they got to have championship aspirations as well. Nas and Dante kind of challenging for that sixth man of the year, and trying to go for that MVP run. Hopefully he like gives a shit this regular season. He normally doesn't. And then I think there's gonna be a trade during the trade deadline or before. All right, so let's just talk quickly about the pod moving forward. Obviously I haven't been the best at giving out episodes, so that's on me, obviously. I'm gonna try weekly episodes for now. There's a lot of things going on, so I don't know which days it's going to be. Probably in a couple of weeks, I can like tell you if it's going to be like every Thursday or every Tuesday moving forward. I don't know. We'll see. Kind of depends on my schedule. But for now, it's going to be weekly episodes. And obviously, I'm just going to post it on my Hunting the Prey Twitter page, as well as my normal Twitter page, Aiden McDaniel's Goat. If you're not following me, please do, just to get some updates on this pod. Then we're going to do every week a Beyond the Den segment, just talking a little bit about the league, mainly like up to the Wolves. I know you guys are listening to this because you love the Wolves. So yeah, it's going to be like talking about the league around the Wolves, how it affects the Wolves. So if LeBron scores 50, I'm not really going to talk about it unless it affects the Wolves in some way. And then we're going to have another segment called Alpha of the Week. It's kind of self-explanatory, but it's either a player or a fan of the week. So if you're like, I don't know, Luka Garza has 50, okay, then he's the Alpha of the Week. If a fan hits a half-court shot, that guy's the Alpha of the Week. So if you want, please send in nominations. It could be for anything. It could be for a charity. Maybe if a Timberwolves fan donated like $5,000 to a charity, he definitely deserves Alpha of the Week. So we take all that into consideration. And yeah, we're going to have those two segments every week from now on. That has been the Hunting the Prey podcast. We're hopefully back weekly now. Looking forward to this season. I mean, I've been so excited, very excited, for the past couple of months, really. Ever since the season ended, it's been like 180 days. 100, okay, maybe not that. 150 days, something like that, since the Wolves last played a real game. So I'm really excited for this. I hope you're excited too. And we'll see each other next week. Hopefully the Wolves are undefeated by then. And we will be talking about championship parades. All right, we'll see you then. Goodbye.